As you work through that checklist of all the things it takes to show up strong and have a presence in the modern media landscape, it can be pretty easy to feel somewhat overwhelmed. I have been there myself, and I've met so many people over the last few years who feel exactly the same way. After all, it takes time. You think about the time-consuming nature of even building a personal website, and then you want to layer on top the social media and the modern media presence in the form of television and radio appearances. There's just so much to think about it, and it can very easily seem like it's all just too hard. So imagine if that person who seems not just a few but many steps ahead of you wasn't just a competitor in the same industry as you, but your sister. My guest this episode is Diana McKenzie, and you might have heard me mention Di at the end of episode 5. When I spoke to her sister, modern media performer and property expert, Ashley Goodchild. But as you're about to hear, Diana McKenzie believes that putting yourself out there in the modern media is a journey. She's so right. You have to start somewhere. And instead of falling into the debilitating effects of comparisonitis, Diana McKenzie chooses to be inspired by the modern media superstar in her family. Listen in as Di shares stories from her whole entrepreneurial family, from their humble beginnings to industry-leading successes. Di shares how she's always known she'd need to skill up in this way, get her story out there, and she shares the things that have been holding her back and what she's done about it. And you'll get some great industry insights from the world of mortgage broking too. In today's media landscape, options abound. From traditional platforms like TV and radio to the digital realm, social media, online publications, and podcasts, just like this one. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to the rapid changes in the modern media space. Whether you're a personal brand or corporate entity, staying relevant is key. Join me, a seasoned TV and radio presenter, content creator, and modern media trainer as we navigate this dynamic terrain together. Let's do this. Here's Diana McKenzie. Diana McKenzie, hello.
Hi, Carmen.
Nice to finally talk to you on a podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here today.
Thank you so much for being a part of my world. It's been really good to meet you and your sisters just quietly. You're part of a strong family in the business community in Perth. How is it you like to describe yourself? I mean, there's the mortgage broking side, but you might want to expand on that.
I've been a mortgage broker for 20 years and I've had my own business for that time. But I've also worked with two other family businesses. One is a real estate business in South Perth, which is owned by my husband and sister. And the other one is completely different industry, which is construction. And that was helping my brother set up a crane business and a rigging business.
Yeah, so there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in your family.
There is. And what's really funny is that my mum's a nurse and my dad worked in the mining industry. So we don't know where the entrepreneurial spirit came from, but all of us kids, I come from a family of four and we are all entrepreneurs and self-employed.
Do you reckon there's something you looked at each of your parents and thought, I'm not doing that?
I don't know. Dad was a bookkeeper and in accounting. So I think that he was a numbers man, even though he never had the confidence to go and become self-employed. And I think that he's passed away now, but he was very proud of the fact that we all had our own successful businesses.
So. Yeah. Generationally speaking, there's always a little bit of a difference as to how we approach our working life and our finances. And it's probably fair to say that our parents' generation were a little more risk averse. They sort of played it safe and sort of thought that, you know, a good solid job is a great way to raise a family. And did you say there were four of you?
Yeah, I think that my family background is that my parents both came from very poor backgrounds. My dad was a Polish refugee and had come out as a baby to Australia. And my mum came from a really poor background too. And I saw them work really hard. And my mum went to university when I was 7 to do her nursing degree. And dad was always working in the mines, FIFO, which was back then it was 6 weeks on, 1 week off, which was quite difficult on the family. And we just saw them all work so hard to give us a better life and educate us. And that's what they wanted for us. They wanted a good education so that we could go on and probably not have the financial struggles that they had as children and as young adults.
Yeah, well, you've certainly made them proud, all of you, yourself included.
Thanks, Carmen.
Tell me about Loanport.
Okay, so when I first finished school and went to uni, I did a degree in politics, philosophy and sociology. And when I finished uni, I went and worked in disability services, and then I went and worked in the vocational rehab industry and became a partner in quite a big company. But once I had my children, I had two little girls, they were 5 and 3, and I realised that the corporate world wasn't where I wanted to be, and I wanted to do something that would fit in with the family. And my husband was in real estate, and we had a mortgage broker at the time, and we were buying properties quite frequently and investing in properties. And Bill said to me, why don't you be a mortgage broker? You could easily do that job and I'll refer all my business to you. So I did that, and together with my sister Kath, we set up Loanport. She was working in debt recovery and mortgagee repossessions at Lavan Legal in Perth. So I think what happened was, back in 2004 when we started broking, all the other brokers were different to us because they had all come from the banking backgrounds, but we had come from a counselling background and a legal background, and we were putting our skills together to do something a little bit different. And we weren't mortgage broking, like coming out of the bank and just starting to write home loans. We really wanted to make a difference in people's lives and help them achieve that home ownership.
It's a beautiful reason to get into business, to make a difference and do things differently to what you'd seen. And we need to think about the context too, because there was a period there where mortgage brokers were under a lot of pressure with the Royal Commission into the financial services industry. And so the industry responded pretty well in educating back up to government about why we need to support mortgage brokers. But to come into it with that beautiful ethical point of view, to say we're not just bankers who are selling loans here, we're trying to elevate people's life experience and what they do. So that different approach, is that one of the reasons why you feel like it's important now that you're making your own content and looking around there at what, you know, multiple other mortgage brokers are doing right now? Is that one of the reasons why you think it's time we start hearing a few different stories from mortgage brokers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I come across different stories from people all the time, and I think one of the things I like to do is help people that wouldn't normally be able to go out and do what they need to do. For example, first home buyers generally come to you and have no idea on how to buy a house. So I get great joy in teaching people, not just here's a home loan, but I get great joy in teaching them the process of what they need to go through, what mistakes to avoid, how to make good financial decisions. Same along with working with single parents. They often come to me in quite a vulnerable position. Their focus isn't on the numbers, it's on having a home for their children. And then I also get a lot of joy out of working with people going through separations and divorces. Often when people go through that, they need to get their ducks all in a row before they go to the divorce negotiating table and start discussing who's going to have the house and who isn't, or are they going to sell it. So one of the things that I do is help them before they go to the negotiation table by showing them what they can do and giving them some confidence to maybe get the house, the family home.
These are all things that we don't necessarily immediately associate with our mortgage broker as a service that you even provide. How do you find that you're able to find people who need this service? How do you promote it?
I don't promote it. I believe in the law of attraction, and I think that people will come to you and find you. And often when you get one person that's going through a divorce, a whole pile of people will flock to you at that time. Same with people going through single parents buying properties. At the moment, quite interesting, digressing a little bit, I have a lot of people coming to me that are starting up their own businesses. So in the last week, I've had 5 phone calls off the internet, all from people wanting to start up their own business and wanting money to do it. And that's very difficult.
It's not always easy to do. I love the law of attraction, right? You know, even content marketing, what we're doing right now, appearing on a podcast or teaching you to appear in a podcast because you're in the Modern Media Performer program, and and you've embarked on a journey to being more comfortable sharing your story, which I'm sure if you're listening right now, you will agree. You're doing brilliantly, by the way. You know, doing that kind of thing, putting yourself out there to be visible on the internet is attraction marketing. It is just saying, hey, more people like me who like what I do and like what they see or relate to me, come on in and I will work with you too. Or if you relate to my client, here's a case study. Let me tell you about this experience with this divorced person going through the settlement and how I supported them. That will bring more people into your world just by putting that story out there when the time is right. And even doing something like you're doing today is helping you achieve that. There's other elements to the things that mortgage brokers talk about in the media. We'll often call a mortgage broker for TV or radio, for instance, if it's interest rates day. But you think there's other things in addition to that, that mortgage brokers should be talking about. For instance, how state governments use stamp duty. Would you care to share with me some of your thoughts around stamp duty, Di?
Oh, I know this is a bugbear. I am so passionate about this. So in WA at the moment, if you are a first-time buyer and you are going to buy a property, if you buy a property up to $430,000, you don't pay any stamp duty. And between $430,000 and $530,000, it's a discounted stamp duty. It's a little bit different for land, but I'll leave that for now. And the problem is the average house price in Perth at the moment is over $525,000. So it's very hard for a first home buyer to really get any benefit from what the government call the first home owner duty concession. There is no concession. It's bullshit, really. And the government need to review their thresholds and they need to change it because it's going to make home ownership a lot more accessible for first home buyers. At the moment, if you're buying a property for over $530,000, you need to pay about $20,000 in stamp duty. So a first home buyer not only needs to come up with a minimum of 5% deposit, which on a $500,000 property is $25,000, but they need to come up with an extra $20,000 to pay the stamp duty, which is just money that's going to the government.
Yeah, totally unfair. And I think it's policy in the wrong place. Maybe you'll know this better than me, but aren't there policies that are encouraging people to buy high-rise apartments and things like that?
Yeah, there are. Recently in August, the government announced some changes to stamp duty, which was going to benefit people buying brand new apartments. And the thing is, first home buyers don't buy brand new apartments. It's the investors, the foreign investors that buy brand new apartments, and generally people that are sophisticated property investors. So all the government is doing with that change is helping the rich get richer.
Yeah, well, and that's not really what we're looking for now when we've got a housing crisis in the city.
Absolutely. We need to be getting the people that need housing into houses.
Yeah. So obviously some really astute observations of what's going on there in the market right now. What's inspired you? Is it things like that, those bugbears of yours? What has inspired you to want to start making content or being ready to be able to start sharing these stories and commenting, whether it be speaking at events or whether it be appearing on podcasts or making your own content? Why do you want to do it?
I want to get my story out there and I want to help more people and I want to give them confidence when it comes to buying property, whether it's to live in or as an investment. And I want to give people the knowledge that I have and help them make good financial decisions. I think there are a lot of people out there that are misguided into what's a good investment and what kind of property to buy. And also, you know, for example, things like, should I pay interest only or principal and interest on a property? Well, my answer is whether it's investment or owner occupied, you should always buy principal and interest. So, you know, I really want to empower people and help them make good financial decisions and get ahead financially. So, for example, the first home buyers, when they are 65, they have paid off their house and they will be able to retire comfortably.
And that is a concern that no doubt comes from you being a parent. You know, you have three kids?
Yep.
In their 20s right now. And you like to say you don't give advice to anybody that you wouldn't give to your own kids. Is that what it's about?
Yeah. The first thing I say to my first home buyers is that I do have two girls that are 23 and 21. And as much as I treat them professionally and I say to them, look, I don't want to patronise you, but I do see myself as a bit of a finance mum, and I won't let you do anything that I wouldn't let my own kids do.
And one of those is, I don't want you still paying a loan when you're 65. And
absolutely. And it's even things like, the banks are all different in how much money they will lend you. And there is a maximum that you can lend. So for example, if someone comes to me and their borrowing capacity is between $400,000 and $500,000, I will explain to them that borrowing $500,000 is going to put them in mortgage stress, and talk to them about reconsidering what they really can afford and what's not going to put them in that stress that then they're going to have relationship problems down the track. And also enable them to also be able to do other great things like traveling and having a family, because those things are really important too. And if you go and just borrow the maximum amount of money that a bank will lend you, you'll find, especially in this current market where interest rates are very unpredictable and still rising, that you will encounter mortgage stress, and it will be a world of pain.
And mortgage stress is a reality of that cyclical nature of the economy, isn't it? It's almost like people in a market like this are going, oh, the mortgage stress is going to kick in soon, then we'll be able to buy a cheap house or two. You know, it happens.
Yeah, mortgage stress. So what we're finding is the people that have been on fixed interest rates for quite a while at around the 1.99 to 2.99% and now coming off their fixed rates, and they're finding it really difficult. They're finding it very difficult to manage and cope because they're used to living, you know, with their repayments three times lower, a third of what they are jumping up to. Oh,
imagine, you know, just suddenly having that far bigger bill every single month, and your family circumstances can change as well. And maybe you knock out one parent who's become a parent. There's a lot of things that can affect it.
And even if someone doesn't have the same job or the same level of income, what then happens is, again, going back to borrowing capacity, that really restricts them from what their options are when it comes to refinancing to another lender. So then they get stuck with a mortgage that is no longer suitable for them.
Mm. It's pretty obvious to hear the level of empathy you have for the people that you work with, which is extraordinary. It's a great value to have. So congratulations. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to do, especially at the end of the day, you're in business. You know, we are in business to provide for ourselves. So it's important then that you try and remind yourself of those ethical reasons and those empathetic reasons to be in business. What do you do to keep yourself in that frame of mind? Is there anything you do to keep yourself in that frame of mind?
I have a very strong sense of social justice, and it's something that I've imparted on my children. And so, yeah, I am in business, but I never look at what I'm going to make at the end of the day. Mm. My business is a pipeline. I can see someone today and they might not get a home loan for 2 or 3 years because they want to have a plan for it in place. I think when you wake up every day and do your job because you're truly driven to help your clients, you're not worried about what you're making.
Mm. A good answer. Well done. Sorry. Designed to challenge you, Di, and you did well. Nicely done. So then what was it that made you feel like it was a good idea to come and do the Modern Media Performer Program? Was that the first thing we ended up doing together? Or you came to a workshop or two, didn't you, in person?
Well, I've always been inspired by my sister.
Oh, tell us about your sister.
It's amazing. So my sister, Ashley Goodchild, she owns the real estate business with my husband, and she is extremely confident on social media, all thanks to Cartman. And that inspired me. Not that I will ever be anywhere a patch on what she will be.
Stop saying that.
But anyway, it's been a good and bad thing. But that really inspired me, and I saw what she has got out of coming and being with you. And also because I've met you at different things, and I really love your energy and the way you train people and help people. And that really resonated with me, and something I felt that I could come to without being embarrassed and without being scared to show up. And I think that the beauty of what you do is you are encouraging people to find and bring themselves, to show up as themselves, and then help put that into social media context.
Mm. Yeah, it is so important that we find that authentic voice, you know, the real you, rather than looking to someone like Ashley, who's got this very strong social media presence in business and online here in Perth, but also it's growing nationally. And imagine being related, right? So it's not just the looking at the person who does the same thing as you down the road. It's the comparison that can come within that, you know, sisterly relationship.
I think seeing her journey definitely shows me, and what I would say to anybody is that getting onto social media or doing podcasts and marketing yourself is a journey. And I've seen her journey, and that's been a big inspiration for me. So I think that, yeah, I see the whole social media marketing and that as a bit of a journey. And I know it's something that I have to do because, yeah, I need to get all my messages that I've got in my head across.
Yeah,
to the world.
You do. And they are great messages, and we need to hear them. And, you know, the inspirational side of what Ashley has done is not just that mere presence. There have been really tangible benefits to her business as well, and the impact that she's had on her industry. So Ashley is also a property manager. She owns a real estate agency. But as a property manager, she's really elevated the status of property managers, created professional development opportunities and personal development opportunities for other property managers so that they feel inspired to go to work all the time. She's got this great property profiling business where she's talking to interstate investors about the yield they can expect from the rental property they're looking at. So a lot of that has come from the inbox. You know, it's people messaging her saying, oh, you had this to say in your video that I just saw. What do you think about this? You know, can you help me with this? And once you're hearing from your audience, you will know what your business needs to be.
She is a really good example of how you, if you embrace it and persist, that, yeah, it will definitely enhance your business.
That's the word, isn't it? Persist. You know, it's often the hardest thing to start, but then we've also got to keep it going. And that has been really cool to watch with you over the last, you know, 12 months more. We did the first workshop together a couple of years ago.
I feel a lot more confident.
Yeah, good. I'm pleased to hear that. And I'm going to believe you by the end of the year, I'm sure, Diana. I love it. Everything you say has got this little slight, like, I feel a lot more confident. You are a lot more confident, Diana. And you're on message and you're talking about things that you're really deeply passionate about, and you're filling a gap in the market for things that other people aren't talking about. And that's also especially good.
You just got to put it on social media.
You got to get it out there. Don't worry, I will hold your hand.
Do you
and
know what?
I
need some people that just come and do it for me. Like, yeah. I can do the bit, but they do other stuff.
Oh, there are people out there who can do that. Yeah, social media managers. I definitely recommend one. I haven't got one personally, but I have helped my clients connect with those in the past. They will help an awful lot. Hey, thank you so much for bringing your energy to my world. It's been great to get to know you a bit more over the last little while as well. And yeah, you've been a great addition to the Modern Media Performer program.
Thanks. It's great to be part of it. And it's great to have also met so many other wonderful people doing the program and getting to know people outside of my normal industry.
Yeah, that is a really good element, isn't it? That we've got some very, very high quality individuals who've come into the program, yourself included, and the network is insanely strong.
Yeah, it's good.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
She's a sweetheart, right? So relatable, an experience that so many people, myself included, have found themselves working through. And if you liked, I recognize the value of attraction marketing in the modern media, and you know it's time to skill up in readiness, drop me an email, carmen@carmenbraidwood.com.au. I'd love to talk to you. Or if you want to get started exactly the same way Di did, use the free Confidence on Camera starter pack in the show notes. Next time on Modern Media, I talk with a modern media performer all the way from the USA.
It brought me to my rock bottom moment where we were broke. We lost our house because of me. We lost our possessions. And I had to face my family and say, we're done, because I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. And my daughter in that moment felt compelled, she was 9 years old, to save me by grabbing her piggy bank and saying, Daddy, here's my savings. This can get us by.
That's author, speaker, and the man Simon Sinek calls the patron saint of entrepreneurs, the highly relatable and always high value, Mike Michalowicz. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to navigating the ever-changing world of media. Dive deeper into today's topics, you can check out the show notes. Or for more details about modern media training, head to carmenbraidwood.com.au. Until next time, keep on shining in the modern media landscape.